All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? Do you guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars?
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode number 48, or episode number 2, if you're listening on XM only.
Correct.
You can check out all of our episodes over at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com.
Also true.
And we're very pleased and excited to be back at XM again after our long, grueling, tiring day at the New York Comic Con. We were trying to work out, as we do, a title for the episode, and we came up with a few, and we can't decide on which one we should call it.
A small handful, if you will.
Yeah. We wanted to go with episode 48, The Big Con. That kind of implies we're trying to get over.
Yeah, well.
And I don't think we want to give that impression.
No, not so much. We also thought about perhaps maybe like Passion of the Geeks. But then we were like, well, Passion of the Geeks, that didn't really work well for that other guy so well. So we kind of had to move on from there.
And then, of course, we could call it 58 Minutes of Sideshow. But Tonner called and complained about that.
They might not be the only ones that would complain. So.
Right.
So then is this what we're settling on then?
Which one?
Geek Stuff Strikes Back.
No, we're not going to go for the easy one.
Oh, come on.
That's really easy. And we're also not going to go with XM number 2, Yes, We Mean Shit.
Okay.
So,
I don't get that.
Because it's number 2.
Oh, like shit.
Yeah. Get it now?
Got it.
All right.
Wow. How does it not long?
Not called Mr. Fantastic for no reason.
Jesus.
In studio with us tonight is our very special guest, Matt from Automatic Comics in Britain.
Good evening.
And Matt is joining us for New York Comic Con this weekend, and we were very glad to have him on our last episode, 47, this past week, and we're bringing him in for XM for a very special reason. First off, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Bit tired. Still jet-lagged and just loving New York.
And are you enjoying the big con?
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah, we're having a good time over there.
Definitely.
If you want to come by and say hi, we have a lovely table over at the New York Comic Con. We're in Artist Alley, and Matt is hanging with us. You'll find Matt as being the only guy with the pink mohawk.
It's red.
It's pink.
It's questionable.
It's questionable for many reasons, but it's pink in color. Nice. Matt, we have a little surprise for you this evening.
We do.
We're in the process of turning on the PalTalk cameras, and once they're on, we're going to present you with a present. But it is a present with a twist.
Right.
It's a bit of a challenge attached to this present.
Okay.
As our pal Eric sets up the PalTalk cameras, we'll say that Matt is a diehard collector like we are. And but Matt is very focused. He has one area of expertise that he collects among all others. And
yeah.
What is that, Matt?
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett from, of course, the Star Wars films and books and so on and so forth.
Yep.
Right now he's turning very red and he's very excited because he knows that we must have something Boba Fett related to give him. So, without further ado, Mr. Fantastic, if you could please reveal the gift
kind of like the Oscars presenting.
Okay,
the
so here's what it
Ooh.
Is. Yes. So we have given him the Lego Slave One, which is Boba Fett's ship. It also
the
comes,
new version.
Yes, the new version. Comes with a small Boba Fett Lego person and a number of others as well. Now, here's the problem.
Right.
Ready? You can keep it.
Ooh.
If you can put it together by the end of the show.
Go.
That's it. So we're just gonna let him suffer through that. Our friend Eric will turn off that mic so we don't have to hear that lousy clattering for the rest of the evening. While retard works his way, the Hobbit works his way through.
Haters.
Through the, that's right. Works his way through the Lego Boba Fett ship and do it quietly. This is radio, for God's sake.
It's Lego. You that's, can't do it quietly.
No, that's it. That's the other part of the challenge. You have to do it quietly and not disturb this show.
But you can't do Lego quietly.
Oh, yeah? You better figure out a way.
Okay.
Whatever, however much together it isn't at the end, I'm smashing it if it's not done. That's
okay.
It. Get going.
Okay.
So, Matt, let's move on with our regularly scheduled portion of our show, which is the news. We're a bit film-heavy this evening, aren't we?
We are, but we're not starting there.
Tonight. Oh, really?
We are starting with something that really we should have been able to talk about immediately after Toy Fair.
Right.
But we're unable to.
International Toy Fair happened 2 weeks ago.
Correct.
Where most of the toy companies, used to be every toy company in the world, now it's only most of them, all converge on New York, the Javits Center, and their individual showrooms to show buyers and the press and corporate people, mm-hmm. all of the products that they're going to have coming out basically in the next year.
Right.
So we attend this, and we comment on a lot of the products and so on and so forth. And one of the companies that we used to always be excited to see was a company called Toy Biz.
Ooh.
Yeah. Toy Biz, no longer called Toy Biz. They're now called Marvel Toys.
Correct.
And I think this is in part because they used to be the number one maker of toys based on Marvel Comics properties. And for those of you that don't know, that would be characters like Spider-Man, the Hulk, X-Men, Daredevil, and so on, just to name a few.
Correct.
And for years and years and years, Toy Biz made all the toys for all the Marvel properties. But they were called Toy Biz. And now, having come this far, they have decided to make a name. They must have decided at some point to make a name change to Marvel Toys.
But
they're no longer making Marvel Toys.
Right.
At all.
Right.
Nothing.
So.
Yet, they're still a subsidiary of Marvel.
Correct.
But they're no longer making Marvel Toys. But they're called Marvel Toys.
Okay. Let's get to why we couldn't talk about them after Toy Fair, and why we can talk about them now.
On our show, we discuss a line that we're very fond of called Marvel Legends.
Right.
It's a very articulated 6-inch scale line based on a lot of the Marvel properties, some of which I mentioned also include others like Captain America
right.
and so on and so on.
Etc.
For years, the way the line has been run is what you would call
questionable,
dodgy,
all right.
with respect to Matt. And the person in charge of that line, whose name I'm not going to mention because
no.
he's kind of crazy, so I'm not going
right.
to mention it. But that person, not really great at running the line.
No.
So over the years, we have been very critical of how he's run the line.
Very, very critical.
Very vocally critical.
So much so.
That he really does hate me.
Right.
And so recently, it was announced that they would be doing a line of independent 6-inch figures based on independent comics.
Right.
That people basically haven't heard of in maybe 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Some of them, they're so obscure that I don't even know them. And
right.
that's really obscure. So, and this was to replace their Marvel Legends line.
Right.
And when we went to the showroom for our appointment, we were told that we were not welcome in the showroom.
That's right.
Because we have been critical of one of their employees in the past, and most recently, we were critical about how that person had acquired licenses to do this new line of figures.
Right.
So come 2 weeks later, all of the things that they didn't allow us to see at Toy Fair were just out on the floor in Comic-Con for
right.
us to see. And they look pretty nice. They're all obscure characters. They're not really for the mass market, and they're not going to do well, in my opinion. They'll do well with collectors. They'll do well with people who like those particular titles. But that's about it.
Do you want to throw out real quick who they were, or do you want to just move away?
I'm just going to let it go.
All right, so we'll go right into then. Aaron Eckhart has been cast, or it would look like has been cast, as Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight, which is the second Batman film that Chris Nolan's doing with Christian Bale in the lead role, due out sometime next year. Aaron Eckhart, for those of you who don't know, was recently in Thank You for Smoking. He was the lead in Thank You for Smoking. And it looks like he's going to be playing Harvey Dent, who eventually becomes Two-Face in the Batman mythos, as it were. So
Aaron Eckhart, yeah, he's an interesting choice. That role in previous Batman movies has been played by Billy Dee Williams in the original.
As Harvey Dent.
Harvey Dent, not as Two-Face.
No, that was Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones, who played the role in the third Batman film.
Correct.
Who was then turned into Two-Face. And now it looks like it's going to be Aaron Eckhart, but are they going to Two-Face him in this film, do you think?
I don't think so. I'm thinking probably introduce him as Harvey Dent, maybe film three.
And unlike Billy Dee Williams, hope he makes it into the next movie.
And his...
So that you can kind of...
And his race maintains
that.
The same in some way, shape,
something?
Or form.
Yeah.
In addition to that, they've announced, or Frank Miller has announced, that they're going to finally begin filming Sin City 2 late this spring.
Yes, the Angelina Jolie vehicle.
Well, you know, it's still kind of wishy-washy. I think that she's tied to it. It's going to be based on A Dame to Kill For.
Right.
Angelina Jolie would be appropriate, I feel, at least, for the lead role in that film. And I'm finally happy to hear that he's just moving forward. It seems like he's been kind of stalling for a while, and he's had some other projects he's been thinking about, and this is a good one to go for.
300.
Forward. Certainly.
I mean, 300 was certainly a project that took up a lot of time, and that's finally coming out, and man, does that thing look amazing.
Yep. Another movie that's going to begin filming very shortly would be Saw 4, which begins filming, or begins production, I should say, April 16th in Toronto.
My birthday.
With a release October 26th, so that's a really insanely quick turnaround.
Which
for
means
a film.
They must really have a solid direction that they want to go in.
Well,
and they're going to move forward and try to get that Halloween crowd again. That makes sense for them.
Sure. They're using the same exact director that they've used for the previous three films.
Oh, Darren Bousman?
Yep.
Cool.
I guess they figure if, no, not broken, don't fix it, and just go with it.
I just got a note from Danny, who's producing us this evening. And he said that he saw 300. Ha ha. Well, I'm jealous of you, sir.
I bow
to you, Danny. I would really like to see 300. I'll have to wait another week.
Yeah.
You're like that guy in that toy company we just talked about.
Bastard. Speaking of a movie I still have not seen yet, would be Ghost Rider.
Oh,
which
you
grossed
didn't?
$52 million in its opening weekend.
You know, and up against tough competition like Norbit, it's no surprise that it it made all that money.
Yeah.
Ooh, what did it make? $52 million?
$52 million in its first opening weekend.
I'm going Tuesday at the IMAX. Fuck you too, Eric.
Jesus
Fuck
Christ.
All of you that are seeing 300 before me, okay? Can we just clear that all up now? Everybody saw 300 except me and
Matt?
Us. And
has Matt seen it?
Well, I could have seen it next Tuesday for my friend at Jim Hanna's Universe, but I was flying out before I could go and see it. So.
Good. So shut up.
I'm not seeing it.
You really are running out of time.
He's not allowed
to talk. That's it. You're done.
Exactly.
No more mic time.
He has like three pieces together right now.
I know. I see that. He's sorted out. It looks like a giant, colorful mess in front of him.
He's got the Boba Fett figure together.
I know. That's the first thing he worked on because that's important.
Oh, Jesus.
He can't find the head.
Good. So, what else? And they're also talking about doing a Justice League of America movie now.
I call that the Mistake of America movie because
yes.
I think it's going to be an atrocious, awful attempt at what could be a good. Perhaps animated film, but live action for Warner Brothers, bad, bad idea. Too many characters, too many conflicting storylines that the general public may not be familiar with.
And what it means is that they're not going to do the Justice League of America. They're not going to do Superman. They're not going to do Batman, which means they're going to have some half-assed Justice League, much like they're doing on Smallville, with the exception that they actually have Superman in it.
Right.
If I see those four guys walking together one more time and they're trying to present it off as some sort of Justice League, sort of Smallville version.
Right.
I'm going to barf because it just makes me sick.
Well, that brings a lot of things into question, too. Like, if they decided to do it, and they decided to use Batman and Superman in it, like they should if they're going to do it properly, would they use Christian Bale and Brendan Routh?
No.
Of course not.
They couldn't.
I know.
Maybe Brendan Routh, but not Christian Bale.
Well, no, I mean, Bryan Singer's working on a sequel to Superman, so, you know.
Yeah, another sore point. Yeah, that film needs a sequel.
Yeah, so it looks like
that
Warner
and
Brothers...
Passion of the Christ both need a sequel.
Yeah,
they're the same movie. So
I don't know.
Something fantastic?
Little, okay. Nothing.
Little chortle there.
That was my joke.
That was your joke?
Well, I stole it, but I was going to use it sometime.
Do you, Danny? Do you have that Transformers piece of production ready to roll there?
No.
Could you?
I'll try and find it, I guess.
Okay. Well, let me know when you have it. I don't think the JLA movie is...
We have one more thing, too.
We do? What?
Oh, yeah. We have a little bit of video game stuff that we saw today at the con. I thought we were going to...
The Darkness video game?
Well, we saw Darkness. We saw TMNT.
I saw the Turtles game, which could also be called Prince of Persia with Ninja Turtles.
Is that what it's like?
Yeah, it's like exactly the same thing. Like, you jump from platform to platform. You can... You know, you grab like those banisters or whatever the hell they are and slide down them or do the flips. And every move that you've seen in Prince of Persia, the last three games for Xbox and PlayStation, GameCube, looks exactly the same. But you're Michelangelo and you can whirl your nunchucks in the air.
Right.
But at least there's nunchucks in it.
Yeah. Well,
that's cool.
We know that's a sore point for you.
A really sore point with them. There's also, we saw a very extended version of Pirates of the Burning Sea.
We did.
Which is a massive multi-online game, obviously about pirates. And the key to it is there's two aspects of it, really. It's the personal aspect, you know, where you're playing in that third person as some character that you create. Right. And then there's the ship combat, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because I think when we first heard about this game, we were wondering how they were going to work the ship dynamic into the game. Like, would you have to assemble a crew and get the crew on the boat and have each crew member handle a different thing, you know, sails, guns, cannons, captain, etc. But it looks like what happens is you're a captain, you get a ship, ship comes with NPC crew.
Right.
That kind of you control kind of
just
them
does
do.
It.
Yeah.
It's kind of, they said it's about half done, but it's coming out in June. Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked what I saw, but it obviously needed a lot of work still.
Sure.
So, I don't know, we're going to go back tomorrow and
play again,
I think.
Sure.
And with that,
Transformers movie.
Oh, what exciting bit of Transformer news have you brought us this evening, obsessive compulsive Matt?
You know, I'm almost ashamed to even be bringing this because I'm almost not convinced that it's exciting. But I feel like I should bring it up. At the very least.
You always feel like any little tidbit of nonsense.
Get it over with.
About this movie.
Okay. So, four new movie stars, Bumblebee, Jazz, Ratchet, and Ironhide, made their car appearance at the 6th annual pre-Oscar fashion event at Paramount Pictures in Hollywood this past week. They had the Camaro that Bumblebee was going to play, or that Bumblebee is based on. The Pontiac Solstice that Jazz was based on, the Hummer H2 that Ratchet is based on, and Ironhide, which is a GMC Top Kick medium duty truck. So, yes,
you're a complete idiot.
No, I'm not completely.
Yeah, you are. Are they really movie stars?
I don't think they're
four movie new stars. Movie stars made their appearance.
They are movie stars, damn it.
A bunch of fucking cars and trucks.
That's right.
Did they transform right there at the movie or whatever the hell it was? Oscar party?
I'm not thinking.
That's the news. So we have an hour and you're wasting our time with that fucking nonsense.
Hey.
Jesus Christ.
I like the Transformers.
Fantastic. Anything?
I got nothing.
And that's what he brings to the table.
Oh, great.
Let's take our first break, and then we'll be back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Johnny Blaze, no one has ever attempted such a distance before. 300 feet from field goal to field goal. What's going through your mind right now?
You look really good.
Hey, this is Ava Mendez from Ghost Rider, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Let's ride.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Kev, New Jersey's Wild Pig Comics 2 is celebrating its 7th anniversary with their 24-hour sale, this year extended to 29 hours.
Wow.
From noon Saturday, March 31st to 5 p.m. Sunday, April 1st. Every item on the sales floor will be 50% off. This is Wild Pig's largest sale yet.
40,000 back issues, including high-grade silver and Bronze Age books, as well as thousands of 50-cent books from the 70s to present. Over 1,700 mid- to high-grade Bronze Age books that have just been purchased will be added to the boxes on the eve of the sale. Over 1,500 trade paperbacks will be on sale. Hundreds of statues and toys, as well as an action figure blowout mat. All figures will be $5 a piece, including dozens of DC Direct and Marvel Legends figures.
So be sure to go early for the best selection. But remember, you can even come in at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning if you are so inclined. In addition to the huge sale that they will be holding, they will also have the annual 24-hour Artists Challenge. See up-and-coming indie artists attempt to write and draw a 24-page comic book in 24 hours.
Featuring artists Danielle Corsetto of GirlsWithSlingshots.com, our friend Chris Moreno of Paul Jenkins' sidekick Dracula vs. King Arthur, and the hysterical Monkey in a Wagon vs. Lemur on a Big Wheel. Not to mention Jamie Halton of InHisLikeness.com.
Another good friend of the show.
A sponsor of the show. And Bill Ellis of Silver-Rage.com.
This is not a phony sale. Prices will not be raised the night before.
No cards, no games, no fads. Just 1,400 square feet of wall-to-wall comics.
Presented by Jersey's hardest working comic shop, Wild Pig Comics 2.
Wild Pig Comics 2 is located at 14 South Michigan Avenue in Kenilworth, New Jersey, minutes from Route 22 East and Garden State Parkway Exit 138.
We Spartans are descended from Hercules himself. Taught never to retreat, never to surrender. Taught that death in the battlefield is the greatest glory he could achieve in his life. Spartans, the finest soldiers the world has ever known.
This is David Winham from 300.
Hey, this is Gerard Butler from Frank Miller's 300.
Hey, this is Zack Snyder from 300, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
This is Sparta!
Thanks, Eric.
Well, the camera was so important to you.
That, of course, was the movie that Danny has seen, and E-Rock will see this week, and everyone's seen 300, Frank Miller's movie that's coming out. Was it good, at least, Danny?
I liked it. I thought it was lacking in some areas, but...
Clothing is what I hear.
Well, you know, those guys are so hot, too. They're all buff and muscular.
Muscular?
But no, it was definitely a good flick. It could have done better in certain aspects. I don't want to give anything away for you guys. So.
Will having seen the movie now inspire you to read the book?
I might actually, because it was definitely an interesting story the way that Miller told it.
Yeah.
So
and they've really taken shots really right from the book.
Yeah, I know. I saw there's a book called The 300: The Art of the Film.
Yes.
And I was reading through that, and it's very. It almost looked like they just took the comic, you know, panels and just basically attempted to film them.
So any film that gets Danny to read a comic book, I'm okay with that film.
Sure.
So let's, speaking of film, let's sashay right into our next segment.
Sashay,
What is this?
This would be something that appeared on the Houston Chronicle Tech blog a few weeks back by a gentleman, Dwight Silverman. He put together a list of 15 geek movies that you should see before you die.
Like a geek must-see list.
Kind of.
Okay.
Right, and it looks like enough people caught on to this that it appeared on Dig.com, which is one of those kind of social news sites where you can vote for or promote a news story that you see. And this was featured on the front page of Dig.com, which means that the content enough people found interesting enough to vote for or dig.
Speaking of interesting content, before we get too far into this, fantastic. How is our guest Matt from Automatic Comics doing
this way? He's having a rough time of it.
It certainly seems that way.
And what I'm curious, Matt, I think you mentioned your birthday before. How old are you?
30.
30, ladies and gentlemen. The target audience for this particular Star Wars toy, can you read that, Matt? It's 8 to 12.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be able to do it in an hour.
And right now, yeah, an hour. Right now.
I'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Sorry.
Let's go.
I have no faith in you.
Back to the list.
I want to say one more thing about this. We had kind of been talking about this a little bit, and we kind of showed it to a couple of people.
Right.
And I think we started to take away from it more than – this is more than just a must-see list for geeks. It's kind of a – if you've seen a bunch of these movies before and you don't consider yourself a geek, you may need to reevaluate that a little bit. You may be like a mini-geek or something if you've seen like a majority of these.
We've said and this show perpetuates the notion that everyone has a little geek in
exactly
them. And it's a lot more mainstream, it's mm-hmm. a lot more widespread than simply you know, guys who we're hanging out with at the con.
Right.
So all right, so let's get to this list. They are in no particular order, so we can just read them off and see what we got here.
It starts off with Brazil, which is a Terry Gilliam film that I have never seen.
Never heard of it.
Really?
Sorry.
So I've heard of it. I've
no
just never
points
seen
for you.
It.
Brazil's a country, as far as I know.
It is.
I'm not even going to talk about it because I think you should both see it.
Okay.
I can't believe that the two of you are sitting in here and haven't seen Brazil.
I'm sure you have it on DVD, so I'll borrow it.
Of course. I have a Criterion or some special edition of it.
Oh, geez.
Sure.
The geek version.
All right. Jesus. Well, the second film on the list would be The Matrix. Which obviously I have seen,
and so did 18 billion other people. So
yes,
that's a good one to be on the list.
We then have The Fifth Element,
right? And this is a great little film. It was actually made by the guy who did The Professional,
right?
Luc Besson.
Mm-hmm.
His attempt at doing American science fiction, even though he's a Frenchman,
right?
And it starred Bruce Willis.
Uh huh.
And what's his name? Cobin.
I can't remember his name. That guy was in Rush Hour.
What's his name?
I don't know his name.
Carbon Dallas was the character's name.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting choice, I think.
Yeah, I could see
it's
where
it's a bit more poppy
fit.
And plasticky sci-fi, but it's good.
Yeah, I could see where it would fit. It's definitely kind of unique.
Now
so
I'm gonna warn you right now.
Uh-huh.
If you use the shortened version of the next movie, I'm gonna smack you in the mouth.
So when introducing the next film, Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan.
That's it.
If
that's
I were
the name
to say twok, perhaps.
I'll smack you in the twok. you know, that's Michael Levy over at Diamond is trying to get this caught on that they call
know.
The Wrath of Khan twok. T-W-O-K.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is the pinnacle Star Trek feature. You don't need to have seen really the series, although it helps. To get this one, and presuming that a lot of people have seen the series,
right.
It's one of the better episodes. This is actually a sequel to an episode.
Right.
So that's good. What's next?
Next up would be Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Which I just don't get at all, why that's on this list.
I don't know.
I don't get it's a comedy.
Yes.
I don't get so what? It's Star Trek. They have a Star Trek representative. Why do they need another one?
Next.
Next on the list is really a personal favorite of mine, it would be Serenity.
What is what's Serenity?
Serenity, Kev, would be the film that's based on the popular TV series Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out.
You're a fucking obsessive, you know that. Transformers, Firefly.
I'm a brown coat.
How did Serenity get on this list?
I didn't even put it on the list. I swear it legitimately.
Look, I love Firefly and Serenity too. I'm not obsessed, mind you, and I'm not stalking any of its stars. I'm just going to leave that one alone. But how on earth does that make this list?
Much,
it's a glorified episode.
Much the way that Fifth Element, I think, falls on this list. It's kind of unique, and it's a little different than I think a lot of traditional science fiction films.
Right.
And so for that reason, I think that it belongs on some sort of list. And a lot of people do appreciate the film, even if you're not familiar with that TV show or any of that other stuff. So I think it's a good spot on the
list. Well, let's take a second to explain. Firefly was a show created by Josh Whedon,
right,
who created Buffy the Vampire,
right,
Slayer and Angel. And depending on what version of the story you believe, Fox screwed,
right,
him by playing the Firefly episodes out of order.
Right.
So they made no sense to people that were watching them, and the show was abruptly canceled.
Correct.
However, it has since gotten a humongous underground following.
Huge.
We're talking like Star Trek in the late 60s,
yeah,
underground following that actually, rather than get the show back on the air, which is what happened with Star Trek, they actually got a movie out of it.
Right.
Well, I would prefer the show come back on the air,
me
but
too.
We'll take the movie.
Sure.
And it still has a humongous underground following. In fact, Kevin Smith today in one of the panels made a joke that no one should mess with the brown coats, which are the obsessive fans of Firefly. No one should mess with them because they're out there giving their all and supporting a show that doesn't even exist.
Right.
So, so that's basically Firefly. I don't get how Serenity's on the list, though.
I think it's because it's kind of unique and different, and so it has a home there.
Well, unique and different, I think, would be the next one, but I don't know that I agree with it either.
You mean Dark City?
Is that the next one?
That's what I have as next. Is that not what you have as
no.
next? Uh-oh, what do you have as next?
I have Army of Darkness as next.
Well, either or, they're in no particular order, so it doesn't matter much.
Army of Darkness is, of course, the last Evil Dead movie that was made.
Right.
And it has a high geek factor because its star is really the pinnacle of the geek stars, Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce can do no wrong. Every little thing he's in, he can do no wrong. He's been in every Spider-Man movie.
Yep.
He named Spider-Man in the first movie, and he was kind of the guy who kept Peter out of the theater.
He defeated Spider-Man, as Bruce Campbell would say in the second film, by not letting him in the theater.
And he's in the third one, but he's not letting on he's in.
Been some rumors there, but.
Also, you might know a popular commercial running right now with Bruce Campbell for Old Spice.
Yeah, right.
It's a very funny commercial.
It is. Running.
So, geek factor, I think pretty high.
I think so.
But again, it's kind of really...
Right. Well, what's next? Since you have a
different
order.
Since I have
I
a better order than you? War Games.
Okay.
Which is, it says here, possibly the first film to give audiences a taste of hacker culture, which is very true. And definitely the beginning of sort of the geek as a separatist movement.
Okay.
Was kind of really emphasized in War Games.
Right.
Because here you have guys who really were spending their time trying to hack other computers and the computer technology and so on and so forth. And as ancient and dated. Fantastic.
Great quote comes from that movie, too. What's the quote? You don't know?
Shall we play a game?
Yeah.
How about a nice game of chess?
Thermonuclear war.
What's the great quote?
That's the quote, you jerk.
That's a quote, thermonuclear war?
No,
that's a word.
You said the quote already.
Oh.
Do you want to play a game?
Shall we play a game?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
We'll wrestle it out later.
All right. Just you and me. A little oil.
Just saying.
All right.
Let's move on.
War Games, I think, really high.
Yes.
Geek on the geek list. Okay, the next one pisses me off.
I know it does, but for wrong reasons, I think, but go for it.
It's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I don't fucking get it.
I think.
First of all, Meaning of Life is a way better picture.
It is a way better picture, but I think the whole medieval fantasy King Arthur aspect of it, I think, kind of lends a little bit to the geek culture better than The Meaning of Life or Life of Brian or.
That really has a kind of a following of its own. Where we would call ourselves normal geeks. These are the guys that even who obsess over this film are guys that even we're like, dude, you're a fucking geek. You know, like they're really obsessive,
right.
And you really kind of want to, when you're standing in a room with a bunch of them, you kind of want to stand a little bit further away in the room.
Yeah.
Because I don't get it. They quote it incessantly, and it's overdone. It's so overdone that it's kind of removed itself.
Uh-huh.
From the genre, in my opinion. In one time, it might have been very chic, but now it's just not.
I still enjoy it. I like it on the list, sort of, but I am a bit questionable.
Office Space?
I don't get this one at all.
I don't get it either.
I mean, I guess it's, I mean, it's more about kind of sticking it to your boss and...
But it's a good movie, though.
It is a good
movie.
No
one's saying it's not a good movie.
But does it belong on the 15 geek movies you should see before you die? I don't know. I think that's kind of questionable. I don't think that it has a home on this list.
I don't think so. What do you have? I'm missing a page.
Well, I have next...
Stupid Fantastic.
What I tried to go to before, which was Dark City.
Yeah. It's The Matrix. It's practically speaking, it's almost The Matrix.
Yeah, you know, that creepy Richard O'Brien is in it. And
yeah.
It's a good movie.
Kiefer Sutherland in that too, right? As the weirdo doctor?
Yeah. Kiefer Sutherland too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good movie. Again, does it have a home on this list in the top 15?
Not saying it's not a geek flick, just saying it doesn't really, I don't think it defines or captures the culture per se.
The next movie, though, I think has a home, I think, on this list. 12 Monkeys I have.
Oh, I thought you were going to say. I'm looking at my list and I'm like, you better not.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I'm going to tear this paper in half when I'm done with this anyway.
12 Monkeys is next on the list. Bruce Willis.
Out there flick.
Brad Pitt, kind of out there. Definitely kind of futuristic sci-fi. I think it belongs in the list. I kind of liked it. It is a unique film. Definitely, I think it's one of Brad Pitt's better roles. I don't know. What do you think?
I like it as a flick. Again, it's not... I think it's kind of a... You know, they're saying that you need to see these films in order to, you know, and somehow establish yourself in the culture. I don't think they're defining the culture, though.
Okay.
And there's a number of films, I think, that define the culture, but we're going to get to that at the end of this. So what else do you have there?
I have Shaun of the Dead as the next film on my list.
Yeah, okay.
I think that Shaun of the Dead, while a great film and very, very funny, as far as funny zombie geek type movies go, I think Army of Darkness sums it up.
Yeah, and it's a parody film.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does parody all zombie movies.
Right.
So then why isn't Scary Movie
four
on the list? There's a lot of sci-fi in that one. So why isn't that one on the list as kind of defining the culture?
Because that movie sucks.
Well, there was that.
Well, yeah.
Thanks for summoning up. Summoning.
Wow.
I stink.
Ew. After Shaun of the Dead would be Darkman.
Darkman's a great flick.
It is. It is. Sam Raimi, Liam Neeson, Spider-Man. Yeah.
And right at the end, Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
So
ooh, Bruce Campbell appearing twice on this list.
Yeah. Well, he's
Oodle
the man.
Lolly.
I think if you're going to tell geeks to go watch, or you're going to tell, let's say, straights or normal people that they need to go watch some films in order to get further entrenched in the geek culture, you want to kind of get films that either are establishing the culture or are defining the culture in some way.
I think we'll get there in a minute. Let's get through this last one and quickly, please, Kev.
Repo Man.
What? Repo Man.
No, don't even waste breath on it.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay. So after looking at this list and making the comments that we
had the Green Goblin on the front of the stupid thing.
Yeah, whatever. We kind of came up with a list of 15 movies together that we thought might make an appropriate list. And some of them are the same or similar to what we have in this list, and some of them are completely different.
And we want to encourage the listeners that if you feel that, you know, you're kind of borderline, maybe you've seen some of these films, we're going to recommend some of these other films.
Right.
If you really want to get a feel more for the culture than you're getting by just watching, say, a Star Wars movie, which obviously they're on here.
Right.
And the Lord of the Rings movies, they're on here also.
Correct.
And how is Serenity on this list, too?
Well, because I made the list up first, and it didn't get vetoed off in the final editing process before we did
your
the show.
Your obsessiveness is really just dragging this show all the way down.
Okay. Well, let's move on to some of the other titles on this list.
Wait, let me just check the list again for Serenity.
This list, I think, is a good list. The other list, I'm not too keen on. Mostly because I didn't know some of the movies.
Right.
But this one has my endorsement, Matt.
Oh, it does?
Yes, it does.
Well, you know, it's good.
You're obsessed over that stupid TV. And I love the show, don't get me wrong, but you really are bringing it to the wrong level.
You mean Firefly?
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me.
You're an asshole.
I am. Good.
Let's just mention a few really quick.
Sure.
That the people should check out if they want to get a better feel for the culture. We're going to recommend Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
Which is in itself a comedy and a parody film, but what it's parodying is the whole Star Trek phenomenon.
Right. Which is at the heart of geek culture, really.
Really. It really is kind of the basis for the whole convention scene. Galaxy Quest tells the story of a TV show that was supposedly out in the early 80s. They've gone off the air. Of course, the actors haven't gotten much work since then. They're doing these conventions. They're very upset about it. One character is classically trained, and he's only known as the alien guy who does that particular line or move. And how the guy who was the captain, he is the leader, the icon of this show to all of these fans, and they worship and adore him.
Right.
Yet, really, he's got nothing else going on.
Right.
And they take that and they show the whole culture, the whole con culture, and it really does give you, the film as a whole really does give you a feel for the culture at large.
Next up, we threw out a film that not a lot of people, I think, know. I think some people at least have heard of Galaxy Quest, even if they haven't seen it. But not a lot of people know this next one. Free Enterprise.
Right.
Free Enterprise is a very quirky, geek-related film. It is about a group of guys that really, the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, holy shit, that's me. You know, they're into comic books. They're into toys. They're into science fiction films. They're enamored with William Shatner.
Yeah.
It's to say the least.
Yeah, enamored. That's a good word for it.
And it really just kind of follows a bunch of geeks in their life through romance, through just through regular things that they do in life. Convention, toy shopping, that kind of stuff. Good thing.
And we also want to mention, before we go to our break, we also want to mention Clerks.
Yes.
In the sense that the conversations that these guys are having with regards particularly to Star Wars and science fiction, Clerks and Clerks 2 and any of those conversations, and also in Mallrats, the comic conversations, these are the comics, these are the conversations that the people in the culture are having.
Yeah, sure.
With that, let's take a little break and we'll be right back.
We're the Monster Squad.
Hey, this is Fred Decker, director of the Monster Squad.
This is Duncan Regehr, Dracula from Monster Squad.
This is Tom Noonan, plays Frankenstein in Monster Squad.
This is Tom Woodruff, Gilman from Monster Squad.
Hey, this is Andre Gower, Sean Crenshaw from the Monster Squad.
This is Ashley Bank, Phoebe from Monster Squad.
This is Ryan Lambert, I'm Rudy from the Monster Squad, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Wolfman's got nards!
From the mouth of babes comes dynamite. The Monster Squad's gonna groove tonight. First came Dracula, now the Wolfman too. The mummy and the gummer swimming in the pool.
Hey, this is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKev'sGeekStuff. Or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes Store by searching for Geek Stuff under podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
Deeper than my grave, G. I'm ready to die and nobody can save me.
Hey, this is Mez, founder of Mezco Toys, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What's up? We're back at Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
We are.
And let's just hit a couple more on this list here.
Yeah, there's some that should definitely be mentioned. Fantastic had a few that he wanted to point out specifically, so why don't we give it to him for a sec to do that.
I don't mean to sound gay, but I love Bill Murray.
Yes, I concur.
So Ghostbusters goes on this list for me.
Okay, why?
Because it's an awesome movie, that's all.
It's a good sci-fi
film. It's got ghosts.
Film.
It's got, like, ghosts.
Bill Murray.
Little Bill Murray.
You're adding nothing.
Well, I added Ghostbusters. That's good enough.
You didn't add it. It was on there already.
Well, I stole it.
You're just chucking it out because you want to be a part of it.
Thanks for inviting me, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly. What's another one that that was on there that you were particularly...
Ferris Bueller is a good one.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's got Matthew Broderick. And it's pretty funny.
How's this defining the culture? Fantastic.
I don't know. Matt, how's this defining the culture?
I think that the character of Ferris, he's a geek. I think he really is a geek, and so it's kind of...
Because he got a computer instead of a car.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he...
I would have said that.
Would you? Had you thought of it?
It's just
the feeling that I get off of him, that he's a big geek. You know, he spends his time at the arcade, he's got the computer instead of the car, and
right.
He programmed all the sounds and stuff like that. He's just kind of a big geek, so it kind of works with that whole thing. I think we also had Back to the Future on that list, which I think deserves to be there, at the very least the first one. You know, that's an awesome sci-fi.
It's an 80s movie about time travel.
Yeah, exactly.
You figure he wanted to travel to any other time but the 80s.
Yeah. Oof. So he goes to the 50s instead. Scary Crispin Glover is in that.
Speaking of scary, can we ask what happened to the guest you're supposed to get us today?
Okay. So I went to go see on Broadway last night. Prelude to a Kiss, starring Alan Tudyk, which, as many of you know, he was Steve the Pirate in Dodgeball.
Right.
He was also Wash in Serenity. And I attempted to get in touch with him after the show to get him to call in tonight or to maybe stop by since he is in the city. And since I am such a huge Serenity geek, it would have been really awesome to get him on the show. And I couldn't. It just didn't work out. He wouldn't return my calls. And
really?
I mean, I left my card with my number, and it was like...
Maybe it's because you left flowers with the card.
I did not leave flowers.
And candy. You're stalking somebody.
I'm not stalking anybody.
You're even dressed like the guy.
I'm not dressed like the guy.
No, you really are.
No,
I didn't even think of that.
No, come on. I'm just doing a whole, like, brown coat. It's like... an homage to the brown coats. I was at a convention all day amongst the geek populace. I had to show my colors, if you will.
You stalked them.
I didn't stalk them.
You can't get guests for this show by stalking people from that television program.
Well.
Speaking of, thankfully, I was able to get
a guest.
A guest on the show.
Good.
Kevin, are you there?
Eddie Murphy's not running for that.
Kev, are you there?
I'm here, sir.
Hey, how are you? Did you win that hand?
I did.
Oh, thank goodness. Because I was becoming very concerned.
Yeah, I wound up victorious. Are you still on?
We are. Yeah, we're on right now.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about geek flicks. Do you want to add a flick as we roll out here? We're just about wrapping up. You want to add maybe a couple of flicks you think all geeks should see or all people should see? Last Starfighter. We didn't even think of that one. This is Kevin Smith, by the way, I should mention. Thanks for calling in for us, Kevin. We appreciate it.
Not a problem, sir.
Last Starfighter.
Last Starfighter, I would say Clash of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, another good one I didn't think of.
Let me see. Mallrats? No.
we actually mentioned Mallrats, Clerks, and Clerks 2 for the banter and the conversation about the geek culture that you always seem to include in your movies.
Totally. That's
because you're
That's
one of us.
What else? What else were the movies that I watched when I was growing up?
We hit a lot of them so far.
I mean, I would hardly consider this geek, but I think Hunt for Red October... is a tech geek.
That's true. Very tech geek.
Wait, are we on? Are we on satellite?
We are. Yeah.
It's a fucking great movie.
It is a fucking great movie. It's true, Kevin.
Well, Kevin, we're wrapping up. I don't want to take you from your poker game any longer. I hope
you're in my rush, sir. I was in a rush.
Oh, jeez. And if it goes bad now, it's going to be all my fault, isn't it?
I'm cursing you all night long. Are you playing tomorrow?
I am. I'll be down tomorrow to play.
Right on.
Tell everyone I said hi. Thanks for giving us time, Kevin. We appreciate it.
Not a problem, sir.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, that was Kevin Smith. Thankfully, I didn't have to stalk him to get him to come on the show.
You kind of had to stalk him. You had to,
good
you
job,
had to, like,
by
chase him around the con today and hope to get him.
We want to thank XM Satellite Radio.
We do.
We want to thank Opie and Anthony.
We do.
We personally want to thank Danny.
Yes, it's true.
Our friend Eric E-Rock over there. We want to thank Eric Logan for allowing us to continue. And Matt, let's check in.
How's it going there with your
your present?
About three quarters of the way through, but on a grey table with grey bricks, it's a nightmare.
Really?
And when you guys keep, like, chucking all the bits on the floor and stealing them, I can't get anywhere.
Well, just in case he was almost finished,
yeah,
E-Rock stole pieces.
I know. Well, look, here's the way it rolls out. We're going to let you keep it anyway. We want to thank you for hanging out with us for the last couple of days.
Really enjoyed it, guys. Valiant effort, Matt.
We hope to see all of you again real soon. Remember, you can check out all our episodes at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
And if you're at New York Comic Con tomorrow, you can stop by up in Artist Alley and pay us a visit. We'll be up there, sitting there all day, hanging out, meeting and greeting. And on that note, we cue the music. When I'm out walking, I strut my stuff, and I'm so strung out. I'm high as a kite, I just might stop to check you out. My sheep.